Well, praise the Lord anyhow. I think it was Thursday morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I was sitting studying, and all of a sudden God said, when the lion roars, when the lion roars. I wrote it down real quick, and then he started giving me little things about it, and that's what our bulletin cover is going to be about, when the lion roars, and it also be teaching something about that. But I can't remember how many years ago I had this vision. I never could find an artist who could really write and make the picture. But I saw, you know, the old barn doors, how they're just half barn doors. This is what I saw in my vision. Then all of a sudden a fire was in back of this barn door. And then all of a sudden a lion leaped through that barn door roaring. And I wanted so bad to have somebody to be able to, you know, paint that picture, because it was so awesome. But people tried, but I said, no, 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 nobody could ever get it the way God showed it to me. I did have an artist in the church at one point, but she moved. I don't know where she moved to or forgot. And anything that's where our logo comes from. I told her what God showed me. Next day she says, is this what God showed you? Yes. Anything God showed me, she could put it down. She was so spirit filled. But that was when you was talking about the lion roar, and I was just really got excited. Because God is doing something great and something powerful, and we all need to get excited, just not one or two, but all. We need to all get excited. And Barbara, I want you to know something. This is our church, the Lighthouse Church, but when I walked through the door this morning, there was a different anointing here. There's a different anointing for your GLOW meetings. It's not the same anointing that the church has. And there's such peace in that anointing and such strength in that anointing. So I just want to encourage you that no matter where you go, that your light, your GLOW carries its own special anointing. You know, it's not in the building. It's in you as the leader. You have your own special anointing. So please let that encourage you. And that no matter where you go, what you do, it's the Dover GLOW? The Dover GLOW anointing that you're carrying. All right? And each one of you in here need to understand that you each have your own anointing. And wherever you go, you carry that anointing with you. You know, you don't ride on somebody else's anointing ever. Because if you try to do that, then God can't move. God can't work. So you have to know that you have your own. You know, and I'm looking at Brother Russell here, and I'm thinking, you know, you have your own unique anointing, and you always make me smile when you come in. I really ask everybody, I just grin, because the anointing, and you're so bold. I think that's the most smart. You are the boldest person I've ever been around, and he just doesn't care. He just tells you, this is what God said, and this is what God's doing, and you know, and he just goes on like everybody should already know that. You know, come on, you know, we all know this thing, and he's the only one that knows it. Because he's the one that God showed it to. And each one of you ladies in here, you need to understand that you carry the same anointing. You know, there's an anointing in you that God is trying to bring out of you. And the only way he can do it is if you understand that you are unique and you are different. You know, please don't put yourself in a category of somebody else. I can never be Barbara. She can never be me. You know, and I can't be... You know, even though I like to be you, I can't be you because you are so bold. And I watch your videos still that you've sent us. And I think, boy, God, I would like to have his boldness. But see, I don't want his boldness. I have to have my own boldness. You know, Neil, you know, you have your boldness. I have my boldness. You know, your wife has her. And I've been even watching the video of you, how when you first got married and how you are today, you're not the same person today that you were back then. You are bold. You're outspoken. Before you were real quiet, a little mouse sitting in the corner. And now she's out there too. See, God is bringing our uniqueness up out of us. He wants us to know that we are unique, we are different, and we're each anointed in a different way. And the problem with the body of Christ as a whole, men and women, is that we're trying to walk under somebody else's anointing, and it's not going to work. It's not going to work. So my biggest thing for you today is, ladies and men too that are here, please know that you are unique. God is working with your personality. He's trying to bring that. There's something still down inside of you that he has not yet been able to bring forth. It's because you are not bold enough. You're not brave enough to say, hey, this is who I am in Christ Jesus. And maybe never somebody's never brought it out. Just like Barbara said, God placed her here under me to be her tutor. And, you know, I would tell her, you know, you're doing wrong or you're doing right or you need to do this. You need to be more bold. Whatever it is that's down inside you, God will place you with somebody that can bring that anointing out. And one thing, ladies, you need to understand today that you need to know God's voice. You need to know that you know that you know that you hear God's voice. You have to know that. And then no matter what you do, you have to go ahead and do what God's telling you to do. If somebody's telling you you're wrong, that this, you have to close your ears to that. I'm not telling you to be rebellious. I'm really not. But I'm going to tell you that each one of God is not going to tell everybody the same thing. And each one of us, like I said, are unique and we're different and we're carrying that unique, different anointing. And he's going to tell, like he's going to tell me something, he's not going to tell you. But yet he's going to use what he tells you. He's going to use you to give to other people, because everyone in here, as I look around, you're all going to meet people that I'll never meet. And so he's going to have to use you to give that message to those people that you come in contact with. I believe really that he's raised Neil up in this hour to lead the men. To let men see that you need to be bold, you need to be different, you need to have courage, you need to walk in righteousness. God is doing so many different things today. Like what Barbara's trying to say is, he's going in all different directions, God is. Because there's so much he needs to accomplish real quickly. And he's working in each and every one of us, and each and every one of us, including me, are trying to figure out, God, what are you going to do with me next? Are you thinking that way, God? What are you going to do with me next? What is really going on here? You know he's moving, but you don't know quite what he's doing. And this one, God said, you're at the in-between place, and it's something new, it's something different, and something bold. I keep hearing that word bold, bold, bold. And when God spoke to me and said, women of valor and courage are coming on the scene in this dispensation of time. Women of valor and courage. So women, going to have to straighten up here. And you're going to have the courage of a lion. And you're going to have to start being bold. And you're going to have to start letting God use your mouth to say and do what he wants you to say and do. All right. Now we need to understand that women of valor live like a warrior. Did you hear that? You're not a little wimp. You're a warrior. Valor is stability, not of your legs and arms, but of courage and the soul. You know, I was reading an article, the other day, and this lady was on there, and she's 101. And last year she went into a bicycle race thing, you know. And this year she's going to do a running thing, 101. And she said, I am just as strong today as I was, I don't know how many years ago. And I said, okay, God, because, you know, I was in a pity party. I'm going to tell you right now, I was in a pity party right then, all right? And I said, she can be doing that at 101. I can be doing that also at 101. Are you listening? We're not supposed to be thinking about dying. And God said he's going to take the older people and restore our youth. In our vigor and our vitality, he's going to use us in a mighty way. So I don't care how old you are, God is not finished with you. And I don't care if there's a sickness in your body, God is not finished with you. I was sitting there thinking about Neil's wife who had a problem with her liver, cancer, was it, of her liver? And I went up there one day and they had all these bottles lined up of all the vitamins and everything. And you know what God said to me, Neil? It's not in those vitamins, but it's in me. Because I'm taking the vitamins too. But he said, it's in me. So what he was telling me is, let's quit relying on the vitamins. And I'm not saying don't take them, please. I'm just showing you what God showed me. He said, you rely on me and you trust in me. He said, because I'm the great healer. Are you listening? Because Neil said one time, I got her everything that I was told to get her. He said, that didn't work. But really and truly, I don't know why God's leading me this way, but his wife was not supposed to die. But God showed me one time, went to her home, that she went to heaven. And when she got there, it was so wonderful, she did not want to come back. And she, even though she knew she had a mission, she just told the Lord. And I even told her, I said, this is what God showed me about you. And she said, that's exactly what went on. But she, even though she had a mission, heaven was too wonderful. And she knew Neil was bold enough he could get on by himself. Amen. Because she was going to stay there with the Father. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I was reading Kate Kerr. She put out an article, and she said that God's going to be doing signs, wonders, and miracles. And she said that he's going to be raising the dead, even those who were cremated. He's going to be raising the dead. And we're going to see, and I think we put the article in the bulletin, I'm not sure. But it's a fantastic article. It's a really encouraging, uplifting article. And God has been saying he's going to do things that we can't even imagine that he's going to do. And so I think we need to stop imagining what he might do and just let him do. Don't you think that? Yeah, instead of saying, well, God, you can do this. He can do anything he wants to do, guys. Come on. And we don't want to put him in our little hole and tie him up there. We just want to let him go ahead and move the way he wants to move. So I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how sick you might be. I don't care what there is about you. God is more than able to raise you up in this last day and use you mightily for his kingdom. Now, I don't know if you all know this or not, but we started a new 40-year dispensation. Did you know that, Neil? You know, we ended the 40-year dispensation, and now we started a new 40-year dispensation. And this dispensation, the other 40-year was getting the church right. God was trying to get the church to repent. Now, he's working on the world. He's bringing the world into the church. He's quit working with the church. Now he's working with the world. He's told me many, many times the ones in the church who really want to serve him have already committed themselves to him. And he says the ones that don't want to serve him won't. So now he's left the church and he's going into the world. Now, this is a new 40-year dispensation. And there's one thing about I've noticed, and even reading God's word, every time God started something new, it was always a 40-year span. Have you ever noticed that? Everything he did was in 40-year sections. And every time he started that, people started to fast and pray. Whenever I came on the scene, and you know, God had me fast and pray. And now he's been telling me you need to fast and pray for this next 40-year dispensation of time. So if God is dealing with you to fast, then fast, please. Because God wants to use you to do great signs, wonders, and miracles. And he needs you to get your body in line with your fasting, to get your body settled down so he can use you. All right, now, if you're one of these women of valor and courage, then you are a woman of strength, courage, and dignity. Strength, courage, and dignity. One who values herself and fights for what she believes in. Hello, ladies. Come on, you have to value yourself first, please. And then fight for what you believe in. Quit allowing people to tear you down. Quit allowing people to walk over you. God didn't make you as a doormat. All right? He didn't do that. And ladies, I don't want you to be bold and brassy, but be humble and submissive. But don't allow people to walk all over you. All right? All right, then you have to be a woman who won't give up on her dreams, regardless of how many obstacles stand in her way. If that doesn't make you beautiful and magnificent, I don't know what does. Amen? God told Joshua in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now your father is telling you the very same thing today. Hold on tight and never let go. Just as God's put this all together, just as he told Joshua, he's telling you ladies today, and even the men are here. Some men have been so beat down that they can't even get up. And so, ladies, you and I have to help them get up. We have to encourage them and bring them forth. We don't go down into their sin. We bring them up into our level in Christ. All right? In this walk that God has called you to, failure is not an option. Are you all hearing me? Failure is not an option. You're seeing somebody stand before you has been through hell more times than I care to say. But failure was not an option in my life ever. It was my daddy taught me when I was really young. He'd say, they called me Jimmy. Jimmy, grab yourself by the bootstraps. Pull yourself up because nobody else will. I've always remembered that. And as you watch your walk, nobody else does. When you're down, they're excited. And you have to pull your own self up. And you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. And you have to make yourself go forward. So I can't make you go forward. I cannot. You know, I tell Barbara, this is what God wants you to do. And she looked at me like I was crazy. But I couldn't make her do it, but she did it. And I've, you know, some people that I've prophesied to, I couldn't make them believe the word. All I could do was give it. It was up to them to believe it was God or not. All right. Are you all listening here? And as you go out there, your leaders, as you go out there and you and God starts using you to be a leader and to direct other people in the path of God, you have to understand one thing. You cannot make them accept what you're saying. God told me, I was trying to get people saved. He said, your job is to give the word and let it alone. And as long as you're trying to get people saved, it's going to wear you out. It's going to wear you out. Quit trying to get them saved. Just give them the word that God gives you to give them. And then let it go. One thing we as women need to know is by finding courage to be ourselves, we gain the power to make a difference. One thing we as women need to know by finding courage to be ourselves, we gain the power to make a difference. Quit trying to be what you think your husband wants. Come on, and quit trying to be what you think your kids want. You be what God has foreordained you to be, a woman with courage and strength and stability. In my lifetime, I have found out I cannot make people accept me. I can't. I have to be who I am. I have tried to change. I don't know if any of you have done this, but my first marriage was a bad marriage, and I would try to be everything I thought he wanted. And it never worked because he didn't know what he wanted. All right. So I just became me again. I just became who I was. And I was happy with myself then instead of trying to be somebody else. Please get this in your spirit. Don't try to change yourself or another person. God made you unique. He made you different. He put in you what you needed in you so you could do the things he wanted you to do. And if somebody can't accept that, that's their problem and not yours. You are God's chosen person. As you walk out this assignment with God, scared is what you might be feeling, but brave is what you are doing. You hear me? How many of you have started to walk in what God's called you to do, and you really think, oh, I can't do this thing. But you keep on walking, and you find out you can do this thing. God does not call you to do anything that he does not empower you to do and equip you to do. All right. God has been forging his women in times of crisis. In Proverbs 27:17, it says, iron sharpens iron. Women, God is sharpening you, and therefore he expects you to go out and sharpen somebody else. And then in turn, they will go and sharpen somebody else. This needs to be a snowball effect. What God has started, he wants it to keep going. He doesn't want it to stop with you. He wants you to be a vessel that carries his power and his authority, and you deposit in everybody else that you meet. Amen? You can't be brave if you have only had wonderful things happen to you. To be a true woman of valor, you must have the courage to be disliked. Come on. To be a true woman of valor, you must have the courage to be disliked. How many of you can honestly say that you know that some people do not like you? Amen. I know that Neil's standing around you and he's ministering to somebody. He's just a grinning. He thinks everybody just loves him. But if there's always somebody in that group that said, who does he think he is? Do you understand what I'm saying here? Come on. I know a lot of people don't like me, so it doesn't bother me any. You didn't call me. God did. Amen. That's how you need to feel. You didn't call me. And I'm not being ignorant with that either. You didn't call me. God called me. And if you don't like the way he called me, then you take it up to him, with him. And you tell him to change me. Amen. He's not going to do that, though. You know that, don't you? He's not going to change any of you because you are unique and you are different. All right. Be brave even if you are not. Pretend to be. Amen. No one can tell the difference because all they will see is your strength, courage, love, faith, hope, and your dreams. So remember that if you're out there being a leader, be brave even if you are not. Pretend to be. No one can tell the difference because all they will see is your strength, courage, love, faith, hope, and your dreams. When I evangelized a lot, the churches I went to was all the ministers would come to the churches because it was a prophet in town. And I would say, God, I've only been on the scene, I'll say, 5 years. These people who have these churches 30 or 40 years, what can I possibly give them? He said, you'd be surprised what you can offer them. And I'd go up, stand up there, and I was not brave. But you know, when the power of God takes you over, you're as brave as you can be. And God just starts using you, and you. Then next thing you know, you're just a flowing, and you're just happy, and you're just doing whatever God uses you to do. And when it's all over with, you're so excited you can't stand yourself. You can't believe, you can't understand why you wasn't brave to go in there in the first place. Are you understanding this? Come on, you need to be different. You need to make a difference every place you go. The atmosphere should change for the better. And you should be a light in a dark, dark place. And you can't do that if you go scared. You have to be brave. All right? Decisions are constantly before us. To make them wisely, courage is needed. The courage to say no and the courage to say yes. See this? Decisions to determine destiny. We need to make a determination right here today not to deviate from the path which God has placed our feet upon. You have to decide right now, God, I don't care where you send me. I don't care what you do with me. I have decided today that I'm going to be a woman of courage and valor, and I'm going to go and do the things you've called me forth to do with dignity. Come on. And then don't let anybody change you. You be what you have determined to be, a strong woman of God. Amen. Come on. Come on, ladies. Some of you are trying to walk forward with your head turned backward. That is why you feel miserable. Just let go and let God. What good will you get by analyzing the past? It's all for nothing. I mean, it's all or nothing. In life, everyone goes through pleasant and unpleasant times. Just walk ahead with courage. There isn't one of us in this room that has not sat down when you're all alone and thought about what if. I wish I had. You need to stop that. You can't go there no more. God keeps telling me what you left is done. But what you have before you is far better than what you left behind you. Do not ever look back again and say, if only. Because, you know, you can't change that past. And so you have to be on an onward trail all the time. Never looking back. Never looking back. I don't know how many times I said, if only. And God said, now I'm tired of this. You quit looking back and you keep going forward and let the past be the past. So I'm asking each and every one, men and women alike in here today, let the past be the past. You can't go back and change it. You can only make your life better. All right. What I'm saying is learn from your mistake and don't do it again and make your life better. Nobody is born a warrior. You choose to be one when you refuse to stay seated. You choose to be one when you refuse to back down. You choose to be one when you stand up after getting knocked down. You choose to be one because if not you, then who? If you're not going to be a warrior, then who is going to be a warrior? If you're not going to be a leader, then who is going? We need some people to lead us. We need true godly men and women to lead us. And if God is dealing with you to be a leader, then be the leader that God has called you forth to be. Because he knows who he's going to place in your path. And he knows that you have the strength and the courage and the dignity to do the things that he's calling you forth to do. Why is Barbara in a glow here in Delaware? Because God told me that's what he wanted her to be there. So I told her, this is what God told me. And then it went on from there. I believe, I don't know if I told you or not. I don't know who I told, but anyhow, I told Barbara. God spoke to me and told me this. So now, then, did Barbara have a smooth trail? No. There was rocks on the trail. There was ups and downs. There's hills and valleys. But you keep on going. You don't stop. You learn by your mistakes, and you go on, and you don't hold your head down either. You hold your head high, because we all make mistakes. I don't care who you are in here today. You've all made your mistakes in your leadership. And I hope you've learned from it. And then what you're supposed to do is teach others from your mistakes. All right? That's what you do. Daughters, you are this is what God says. Daughters, you are the apple of mine eye, and I have so much in store for each and every one of you. And I am here this day to tell you that there is nothing that will ever stop my blessings from flowing over you. That was God speaking, and it's still God speaking. There's a rumor going around that this is a year of the woman. I have come to straighten out this rumor. My women have always been special to me. My women are unique, and they are strong in their convictions to me. They are loved, and they know that they are loved, and they will spread this love throughout this land. All through my word, you can read about my special women. I love each and every one of you in a very special, unique way, and I have a plan and purpose for each and every one of you. Then he goes on to say, this is a year that the potential in my women is being released. This is a year they will come forth and conquer on every side. This is a year where they will humble themselves and become like my son Jesus. My women will not have to fight to take their place in my kingdom, for I have already made a way. I want to stop there, and I want to tell you something. I was scrubbing down my dresser in my bedroom because we're remodeling, and God said, there's no place in heaven for you. And I dropped my rag, and I said, what? And he said, there's no place in heaven for you right now because your work is not finished on earth. See, because I secretly have been telling God, I'm ready to come home. All right? I have to tell you that too. But he said, your work on earth is not completed yet. You have to stay there. He said, I know my word says that my son goes and prepares a place for you. And when your time to come here, your place will be prepared. But right now, there's no place in heaven for you. And I'm going to say to you ladies here today, there's no place in heaven for you right now. And you men too, because you still have a mighty works to accomplish on this earth. And Neil, you need to understand, you started out in this 40-year cycle. You quit your job, you retired, whatever it was, and you're starting in this 40-year cycle. Now, you be very aware of what God's saying to you, because he's going to start using you. He's going to start motivating you. You're going to travel a lot. And you're going to be speaking in a lot of different places. And don't get comfortable in one place, because he's going to move you around. Because you have things in you that God needs you to share with the rest of the body of Christ. Men in particular, but women also. You and your wife will even at times preach together. And you'll be ministering to the men and the women in the congregations that you're in. And you'll even minister to young people. God has told me he's placed a unique difference in you where you can reach the young people in the churches. All right, then God went on to say, as you read my word, you will notice that some of my women were used in daring feats, others behind the scenes, and they stayed humble before me, and they constantly sought my face for instructions. They trusted me, and they stayed in their faith, and they obeyed beyond measure. This is what God's expecting you ladies to do. I am not bringing women forth at this given time to usurp my men's authority. I want you to listen to this, ladies. This is what God said. I am bringing you forth so you can work alongside my men in perfect unity to bring my works to pass in this dispensation of time. I did not make woman first. I created man first and then created woman out of man's rib. They were to walk side by side, enjoying everything I created for them. They were to be one always, and they were made in my image, and therefore they would enjoy all of life, not just one or two things that I created for mankind. We're supposed to just simply enjoy ourselves, ladies. Amen? And I don't see very many women enjoying yourselves, do you? You know, some people are in bad relationships and they're mooning and crying over this man that's not any good for them, or, you know, and stuff like, quit that, ladies. I went down that path. Quit that. Just you be you, and you just enjoy life. Amen. I didn't say be ignorant, arrogant, or bold. I didn't say that. Be loving, kind, full of mercy, grace, but just enjoy life. You know what makes a man, you know, I'm just speaking about my own experience. What makes a man so mad? When they're trying to make you so miserable and you're just happy, you know, and you just enjoy life, just everything about life, that just drives them to distraction. And I just realized one day, hey, you know, they're trying to make me miserable and it's not affecting me because I have Christ in me. And see, they're doing that because they don't know who they are. It could be man or woman doing this. They don't know who they are. And so they're mad at you because you know who they are. So they're trying to make you miserable. Now, when you understand that, you will start enjoying life. And you can love that unlovable person while they're doing that to you. You really can. I'm standing here as an example. You can really love that unlovable person. You can, but just say, thank God I'm not in their shoes. Thank God I'm not as messed up as they are, right? And mean it. Just don't say that. Mean it. Just say, God, I really thank you that I'm not walking in their shoes. All right. I never told them to submit to one another, for there was no reason, he's talking about men and women, for there was no reason to tell them to do so. I just told them to go forth and multiply. He's talking about in the garden. And so Genesis 1, 26 through 28 said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply. See, he didn't say, Eve, you submit to Adam. He said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then he said, the word submit would never come out of the mouth. When I was first born again, I went to a church and all I heard was submit, 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 submit. And I didn't really know my word, even though I read it, you know, I didn't know it. And so I went home and I went that one day and I said, God, what is this submit thing? And this is what he told me then too, but this is what he's telling you today. He said, they would just love, the word submit would never leave their mouth because they would be so in love, they would just do for one another. I'm the man of the house, shall submit to me. Come on. I lost my place. All right. If my men and women would just love and quit judging, the world would be a different place to dwell in. See that? Daughters, it is time you take your rightful place in my kingdom, and that does not mean ruling over my sons. That does not mean ruling over my sons. It simply means know what I have called you to do, and then walk ye in that calling. Love, forgive, and move past a worldly design for this world, and come up hither with me, and allow me to teach you of all things that I need you to do in this dispensation of time. Did you all get that, ladies? You know, I just think if you just love your husband, if you just love your wife, you know, I just think that's heaven on earth. You don't see much of it, but that is what God wants, and that is heaven on earth. And we wouldn't be walking around with a mess we have out there in the world today if that would be going on. Then God said, there has already come a time of absolutes. Then I looked up absolute. Absolute is something that is conceived or that exists independently and not in relation to other things. Something that does not depend on anything else and is beyond human control. Something that is not relative. Then it also said, no mortal being can influence the absolute. And so what God had said, there has already come a time of absolutes. Then he went on to say, I created everything in its perfect time, and I use everything in its perfect time. The timing of the great influx of lost souls is on the way into my houses. And number one, I need you women to be ready to minister life where there is death. And number two, I need you to minister love where there is nothing but pure hate for all mankind. And number three, I need you to minister peace where there is total turmoil. And number four, I need you to be ready to minister to my women who have sold themselves as slaves to the evil one and feel so unworthy. And number five, I need you to be there to give them hope and determination. You see, little ones, you are desperately needed in my house at this given hour. I am going to use marriages in this hour also. I need marriages that are in total unity to show the lost and dying that there is a place for real marriages, marriages that were designed in the heavenly realm. God went on to say, there will be those who think there is no way to fix their mess, but I can do the impossible. But to do the impossible, I will need true women who walk by their husband's side, walking hand in hand, in one mind and one accord. There are too many lopsided marriages in my houses, marriages where either the man or the woman dominates. I never meant for this to happen. All right. And then as God was speaking out, I picked up in the spirit that he was saying, if you're single, he wants you to be single-minded with him, walking in purity and in holiness and righteousness. All right. Now, Genesis 2:7-8 said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And then in Genesis 2:15, it says, and the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. See, the man was here first, is what I'm trying to get at, all right? But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Now, see, God knew that man needed a mate. He knew you were going to be lonely. And this is another reason why he looks down at marriages and he weeps, because he wanted you to live in peace and love and harmony. And that's not happening. And in verse 19, it says, out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the earth, of the field, and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. See, he didn't do Eve out of the ground. He did Adam and all the animals, but not Eve. Do you see how special you are to God, women? You're not a piece of dust. Isn't that right? Your flesh. And God made you unique and made you different. If only women would understand that. You know, you don't need, and I'm not putting men down. I know where women come from because I did a lot of counseling. I have a counseling degree. Women think they need a man to make them something. And you don't. God made you unique. He made you different. And God does want us to have mates. He does. He does. He does. He does. But we need to quit looking at that as that if we don't have a mate, then we're not whole. And that's not true. You are whole because God made you whole. And if you, all you need is God in you, once you have God in you, then he'll give you a mate, and then you too can, you will live in happiness and peace. But if you're looking for a man to fill that void, that's why marriages aren't working, because only God can fill that void that's inside of you. So quit looking for a man or another woman, you know, the way the world goes nowadays. Look to God and have him fill that void. And when you have God in you, you have love, peace, joy. You have all the attributes of God in you. Then you'll just share that with everybody you come in contact with. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Women of God, God covers you. You need to understand, God covers you. And you can go forward in perfect peace, knowing that you are called and anointed by our precious Heavenly Father of all lights to do a mighty works for His kingdom. You're not darkness. You're light. Quit allowing the enemy to destroy you. And the enemy works through people, does he not? We know that. And you know, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a leader, the enemy's going to make sure he sends people into your life to destroy you. You have to understand this. This is why we need to be walking in totally, completely in the Spirit, covered by the blood, listening for God's voice and God's voice only, and doing exactly what God calls us to do. Nothing more, nothing less. You are God's chosen vessel. God called me when I was 50. I was saved when I was really, really super young. But God called me when I was 50 to start using me as a vessel to honor Him. And I thought, God, look at all these years I wasted. He said, you didn't waste any years. You were in training up to now. So ladies, everything that you've been going through has been training ground for what God, for the purpose of God in this 40-year dispensation that we are in. And this 40-year dispensation is bringing in the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I don't know when He's going to come. Nobody knows it. But I do know, God spoke that to me a couple months ago, that this 40 years is getting us ready for the second coming of Jesus. And He's doing a great harvest. And if you look overseas, what's going on, all the things that talks about in the Bible is going on over there. And God is winding things up. And He's asking you women today, will you please surrender yourself to me and become all that I've called you to be? And quit allowing circumstances to pull you under. He's made you strong. He's made you different. He's made you unique than the women out there in the world. And He needs to use each and every one of you to reach the lost and dying out there. Ladies, have you ever looked at the women in the world today? They're messed up really bad. We don't judge them. We just say, God, give me an opportunity to minister to them. All right? And in order for you to God to use you as a vessel of honor, you're going to have to submit yourself totally and completely to Him. And just continually yield to Him. Because every day you're going to have to fight. Every day the enemy's going to come at you with something trying to pull you off course. Do not allow him to have a victory that day. You need to every day just tell him where he belongs. Under your feet. Not over your head. He's not beside you. He's under your feet continually. This is your hours, lady. This is your hours, lady, to come and rise up. I don't believe in this women's lib and all that junk. I don't believe in that. I just know that we are unique and we are different. When God called me here in Delaware to do what I do, all the men and ministers in here, they told everybody not to come here, that I was of the devil. And to this day, they won't accept me, but that doesn't bother me. They didn't call me. God did. And, you know, if I'm a threat to them, well, then they need to get their self together. Why would somebody fight you? It's because you're a threat to them. So always remember that. And they're not fighting you. They're fighting the Jesus in you. And I've talked long enough. And what you need to do, I don't care where you go, what you do, you need to say, God, I'm your vessel. Work through me. Whatever you want to say or do, I'm empty. I'm open for you. And you just use me. Thank you. Father God, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you honor. We give you glory.